this episode of Ice Pilots NWT. A water bomber engine springs an oil leak over Turkey.
We look at this as just normal. No, it's not normal.
Trainee pilots get put to the test.
Hold that for life.
Chief pilot Arnie Schrader hits the water.
Get right like that.
And the other water bomber hits the tarmac.
Oh, 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 yeah.
My Lord, I wish that I could fly.
A military base on the outskirts of Ankara, Turkey. A Buffalo Airways CL-215 water bomber is getting rebranded by its new owners, the Turkish government.
That's a big balloon.
It took Buffalo chief pilot Arnie Schrader 6 weeks to bring this $2 million water bomber to Turkey. But the only thing getting up in the air today is a hot air balloon.
Trying to get me in there.
Arnie is still waiting for official government permission to fly training runs in the CL-215.
I don't like balloons. I think I'll stick with aircraft, you know, with the engines.
Buffalo mechanic Corey Dodd is also trying to pass the time and blow off steam after nearly 2 weeks of waiting at the base.
Well, today we started off with a 10 o'clock workout, and now we're on the way to the, I think it's the 12 o'clock bacteria fest. So we'll see what they offer us today. I imagine it'll be one of three things: sheep.
Corey joins Arnie in the military base cafeteria.
I don't know what the hell that is. Sheep in a pickle.
Not bad. Yeah.
After lunch, Corey checks out the water bomber parts that have just arrived from Canada. Getting the Turks up to speed isn't going to be simple.
One jack for two airplanes.
Things get lost in translation.
Paperwork. What? Just records, like documents.
Mistakes can easily be made.
This one here we'll have to take out to the airplane.
Aircraft side, left side. There is a small plug.
That's yes. For the foam and the pressure.
Okay.
We change the valves and the pump will suck.
Same pump.
Yep. I'll show you.
As you can see, there's a bit of a language barrier.
It's one big adventure.
Front side.
Corey supervises the tank installation on board the CL-215. This tank holds fire retardant foam spray.
No.
The tank is ready to go. But for now, that's as far as things will get. Corey and Arnie are in permit limbo, tangled up in government red tape. Meanwhile, on Santa Maria, an Azorean island in the Atlantic, Buffalo's other water bomber bound for Turkey is getting set to take off.
Windy here today.
Pilots George Fury and Dave Poole have been stranded here after a hairy emergency landing 2 weeks ago. They tried to leave, but encountered an engine overspeed problem.
Sakes, we got an overspeed.
They turned around and shut down the engine, making it back to Santa Maria. Then, they were stuck there waiting for the engine to be repaired. Now, as they leave this island once again, it's all systems go. Or so they hope.
Okay, you just hold that heading and I'll just punch her in.
They're headed for their first stop, mainland Portugal. In Yellowknife, Rod and Mikey McBrien are tracking the water bomber's course over the Atlantic.
Now we can see that they're doing fine. They're going fast. They got a good wind. They've maintained 9,000 feet now for 4 hours, so we know it's running good, simple.
It's not long before George and Dave begin their approach to Lisbon, Portugal.
There she is. This is TXB, and it just did the last oceanic flight, which was from the Azores to Portugal. Tomorrow they're going to Spain, hang out in Spain for a day, and then make their way to Turkey.
Just outside on the tarmac, the daily Buffalo Sked flight arrives from Hay River. Rampy Jeremy Dow is on board. He's come to Yellowknife to work for the day.
I forgot to tell Yellowknife that it was spring. Minus 15, no freaking two.
As Jeremy curses the cold, his rampy rival Wilf Dar is pulling out all the stops. Today, he's making his debut as the Sked's flight attendant, and he's sprucing up for the occasion.
Now what have I done?
If Wilf's gambit works, he'll jump ahead of Jeremy, get his flying skills checked out, and move up the ladder to the co-pilot seat.
It's always a competition between rampies as to who gets picked for checkout. The sooner the checkout, the more flying you do, and the faster you progress.
Wilf is very keen, very eager, you know, very straight-edged.
He is eager. Eager to please, eager to do whatever looks good. So be it.
Wilf wastes no time taking charge behind the ticket counter.
Wilf, I just saw him. He was wearing a shirt and tie, eh?
You gotta be shitting me. Like, he didn't actually... He's actually wearing a shirt and tie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
A shirt and tie. Jeez Louise.
Can you get this to the lady back there?
He's actually wearing a suit and tie.
You know, freaking Wilf wore a shirt and tie to his first day of flight attendant the Sked? Is that must be a Buffalo first for sure.
Probably going to be a Buffalo last as soon as he does it for 2 days.
This is an appropriate level of dress for, you know, a commercial operation, and I don't think that, you know, looking like a hobo is necessarily appropriate.
I'm a hobo's hobo him.
So your first day flight attendant, what did you wear?
Probably something like this. Maybe grubbier, I don't know. It's a dirty job, man.
But Wilf is quick to point out that flight attending is a cut above working the ramp.
I'm also not doing the same work as a rampy. Rampy.
Oh, really? He's calling me a rampy now.
I intend to run it for all it's worth. Yeah, so just leave it like it is right now.
As flight attendant, Wilf has to make sure all the passengers are present and accounted for.
Goes here.
But Jeremy throws his rival a curveball.
He told a customer that she could run to Walmart and come back. And we'd hold the plane for her. And that's... And she hasn't paid a ticket. She hasn't nothing. Just... She did leave her ID here, which is even more confusing.
Wilf had had a rather imperfect first day for a flight attendant.
If I take it to the plane and she doesn't show, we're hosed.
Yeah.
If I don't take it to the plane and she hops on last minute, still hosed.
All of a sudden, you've got a really confused, stressed out first-time flight attendant. Joe's chomping at the bit to get in the air like he always is at 10 to 5.
Everybody, you need pre-boards?
Pre-board's already on.
Come on, so get out. Don't be scared.
Everybody was on board except this one passenger.
She hasn't shown up yet. Her luggage is in the van if she's not on the plane.
I sort of thought it was funny as hell. Whatever.
Minutes before the DC-3 is set to taxi out, Jeremy shows up with the missing passenger.
Oh, sure. Luggage ID? Rock on.
Hold on, I got you covered. I got you covered.
But Wilf is still flustered.
Good evening, folks. Welcome aboard Buffalo Airways. This is my first flight, so if I mess anything up, please forgive me. I'd like to prepare for departure. Please ensure that your seat backs are locked in their upright position and your seat belts are fastened. Already messed up one thing.
Flight attending is a step, but that's, being in the cockpit's the right place.
But to reach that place and to catch up to his rival, Jeremy realizes he has to make the move out of Hay River and get closer to Buffalo HQ.
Looks like I definitely have to get to Yellowknife. I really have to get this ball rolling. Or to advance in the company.
Kilometers away in Turkey, Arnie Schrader has received some very good news.
Thank God. Been sitting here for 12 days waiting for permission. So, glad to get it started.
With his flying permit approved, Arnie can now give his Turkish trainees their first lesson in a Canadian water bomber. Finally, after a long wait, it's time to fly. Arnie has the trainees touch down and then take off right away. A maneuver called touch and go, the best way to get them used to the airplane. Training day ends, the Turkish pilots are thrilled.
It's very nice.
One of Arnie's trainees, named Cenk, is delighted with his first experience piloting the 215.
It can turn for sure. Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, he's pretty experienced piloting.
Yeah.
He's not going to have any trouble with this. Very intelligent, Cenk. They all are. Kind of slewed around a little bit, but it's pretty good.
Hey.
Coming up, the two water bomber crews reunite.
Coming back.
And hit more than just the water.
Just a little shit right there.
Out over the Mediterranean, water bomber pilots Dave Poole and George Fury are on their last leg to Turkey. Finally. At the military base outside Ankara, Corey and Arnie are tracking the other water bomber's progress using GPS satellite technology.
They got up to the border of Tunisia here, and they sent them straight back down to Malta, so there must be some war exercises or something going on there. They didn't give them clearance through Tunisia.
The plane is already over a week late to reach Turkey, and today's rerouting has caused further delays.
They should arrive here somewhere in the p.m.
If we're going 169 knots, they haven't really started slowing down the land either.
Yeah.
If they're down around there, they're about to touch down. 169, they've still got some.
In Yellowknife, Mikey and Scott Blue are also tracking George and Dave's water bomber as it approaches Ankara.
Maybe they came down here and dipped up here. Now they're in the mountains, so they stayed pretty high. And they stopped before much altitude. Yeah, they're only about 700 feet above, right? So they're really starting to slow it down, dropping the gear, starting to drop the flaps. Next time it updates, they'll be on the ground.
There you go.
You're done. I landed. Yay!
Champagne! It's Friday. Let's get drunk at work. Screw it.
At the Ankara airport, George, Dave, and engineers Matt Boulanger and Norm Byrne are finally setting foot in Turkey.
Hello, hello.
It's time for this trip to be over.
But their journey isn't over yet. They're headed for the military base outside Ankara to join Arnie and Corey.
2 hours.
But to get there, they'll have to cut through some red tape.
I guess we're waiting for some kind of permit to land after we already landed so we could take off to another airport.
After a few hours, they get the clearance they need thanks to Cenk. He's showing up at the airport to translate and pave the way for their departure.
It's been a long day, but we take care of all the problems. We solve all of them, so we're going home base, finally.
What's ground here? 121.9?
Yeah, 121.9.
It's only 20 minutes across Ankara to the base. But after flying all day, another flight is the last thing the pilots want.
Oh, you need a cold beer, Rooster.
Had not.
All day.
Confirmation, Chinese Coastal.
She's calling for confirmation. Say confirm.
Confirm.
Yeah, we have the runway in sight for Tango X-ray problem.
Copy, sir. Continental Hotel, call for its frequency.
And I'll put her nose up and get a bit of flap on.
Book, Roger, we'll call you with a marker.
File gear change, 1, 2, 3 down.
Yeah.
Finally, they reached the base.
It's gone. See Annie?
Yeah. You made it.
Yes, finally. Hi.
Jesus, thank you all over today.
I know, yesterday too. We ran into a lot of problems, so I mean, you can. I suppose you can expect some of that, but we had too many delays, really, so sort of catches up with you after a while.
Arnie tries to cheer them up with his good news.
Well, we just got approval to fly now.
Really?
Yeah. So just got the insurance straightened out and stuff.
But George won't be sticking around to train the Turkish pilots. He has other commitments back home.
I've been on the road now since February the 11th. I think I deserve a break. Homeward bound for me.
Starting from the top.
He's found a roommate, but now all Jeremy Dow has to find is an apartment in Yellowknife that they can afford.
My name is Andrew. I just moved up to Yellowknife, and I'm looking for a 2 or 3 bedroom apartment.
Seems like a nice guy. He's from BC. Therefore, we have a bit in common there.
Next one.
Unfurnished condo.
Andrew Vike was working the ramp in Hay River like Jeremy. And like Jeremy, he wants to be in Yellowknife where he has a shot at a pilot job.
You can't be in Hay River and expect to fly like you want to. We need to rework in here. All the advantages are here. Just everything's here. Nothing's in Hay River anymore.
That is novice.
$1,500 a month for a 3-bedroom. Ready?
Yeah.
The only thing that isn't here is an affordable apartment.
Prices are ridiculous here. Absolutely ridiculous. Well, they're like Vancouver, but without the Vancouver.
Immediately. As soon as possible. Oh, it's been rented. Thanks very much for your time.
The Rampies strike out. But fortunately, there's an angel of mercy in Yellowknife. Kelly Jurasovic.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no,
Buffalo's cargo manager and resident mother hen.
The kitchen is your guys' in the morning. Just get up. I got toast. There's eggs. There's whatever you guys want. You guys can make.
Kelly has been great to me. I didn't have a place for a couple days, and she insisted that I stay with her, which was more than kind. It was great.
If you run out of toilet paper, ass wipes in there, I just put a fresh roll on. Kitchen's yours. Make yourself at home. That's the way it is. If you don't, I'll be pissed. Deal?
Deal.
Okay. When you guys get your place, it's fine. You got to invite me over for a game of poker.
Not bad.
The next day in Turkey, Arnie and Dave put the Turkish training into overdrive. It's the last phase of this $7 million sale of 2 Buffalo water bombers to the government of Turkey. Cenk is flying with Dave today to translate for the other trainees on board.
Instruments.
Okay.
Arnie takes off with his trainees.
Ready? Okay. Use your rudder to keep it straight now.
Yeah. Up. Keep it up, up.
Power on?
Yeah.
The 2 water bombers are heading for Izmir, a port city by the Aegean Sea 500 kilometers away. There, they can begin practical exercises scooping and dumping water.
Ground 62, climb to flight level 170.
Flaps up.
Yeah.
After takeoff.
Suddenly, en route, Dave's Turkish trainees spot trouble. An oil leak on the left engine.
says, hey, look at this. Is this normal? So I took a look. And I said, no, it's not normal.
This could be trouble.
You run out of oil. The engine is
Dave will have to decide whether to land at the nearest airfield or try to make it to the runway in Izmir.
Ready?
After a string of delays, Captain Dave Poole is finally in Turkey training water bomber pilots.
Power on?
Yeah.
Everything looks good. So.
But on his very first flight from Ankara to Izmir, a serious problem. An oil leak.
He
says, hey, look at this. Is this normal? So I took a look and I said, no, it's not normal.
Dave has to decide whether to find a place to land right away or push on another 150 kilometers to Izmir.
I'll just keep an eye on the oil pressure if I have to feather it.
Dave chooses to keep going, but can he reach Izmir before the engine overheats?
Yeah, they changed the cylinder and it may be, I don't know. They'll look at it when we get out. Right there, right?
The Izmir airstrip is in sight.
Actually, I have control. Just tell them I have control because we're high on it. Get her down. Okay.
With the engine bleeding oil, Dave throws the water bomber into a steep approach.
Don't normally do this chamber because that oil, I don't want to come around.
By the time Dave puts the plane on the tarmac in Izmir, the engine has lost a lot of oil.
Genuinely.
Where?
Left engine, look at it.
Oh,
fixing a 2,000-pound engine on a remote airstrip isn't going to be easy for Corey.
There's not a freaking stand or anything around here. These people are completely unprepared. It's actually getting quite frustrating now.
I'm going to go talk to Mikey and Mike, see what they want done with me.
He's only been in Yellowknife a few days, but Jeremy Dow is about to catch a break. A Buffalo DC-4 is scheduled for a freight run to Hay River. And Captain Justin Simley needs onboard crew. Jeremy is the rampy in the right place at the right time.
You're there to assist the people in loading and unloading and whatnot, but really, you're there because you really want to fly, and with any luck, you're going to get a chance to do that while you're on that flight.
We're all set, boys?
All set.
Sure enough, shortly after takeoff, Justin calls Jeremy into the cockpit.
Where's the seat adjust?
It's just off to your right side. There's two handles. It'll be the bottom one.
I was hoping that I would get to fly during that flight. I didn't know if it was going to happen or not. I thought it might. And lo and behold, it did work that way. Getting some stick time, getting to fly something like that, DC-4 straight out of school, that's awesome. And the only way you do that is by getting from Hay River to Yellowknife.
It's requesting your latest, sir. We're inbound from Yellowknife, 40 back, 3,500 feet.
As they approach Hay River, Justin surprises Jeremy.
They're going to do a landing.
It was quite surprising to me, anyways, that he was going to let me land it.
No, he's going to land. You think we learn to be pilots by pretending or what?
That's how you train guys. You got to get them in the seat and let them get the feel of the airplane.
Here, take it into pretty small airstrip and land it. Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, I hope you talk me through it.
You're 2 miles from the threshold.
A little low.
Coming on profile, actually.
The DC-4 is in the hands of a 21-year-old rookie pilot. This is Jeremy's big moment.
All right, coming down. Back.
Selectors on the mains, cross speeds are off, quantity checks, gear selectors up, landing weight checks, and gear approach check was complete.
Roger.
So a mile and a half from the threshold, out of 500 feet, profile check, slowing through 100. Anything is heels on the floor, don't touch the brakes, okay?
Roger.
When you touch the brakes, we'll skid all the main tires on, so don't do that to me.
You got it.
Look down the runway and make sure the airplane's straight. If it's not straight, it's gonna do some crazy shit. Jeremy, let's get on that center line.
Come on, baby. Come on down.
In a matter of seconds, this novice flyer has to bring a massive four-engine aircraft down onto a runway for the first time.
Bring it down now. Bring it down now. Hey, flare. 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 Right there. Just hold it. Hang on. That's money.
Nothing to it.
Good job, my man.
Thanks. I don't know if you guys heard me talk about my shit-eating grin. Yeah, this is going to be it.
Oh, Jeremy did good, yeah. Yeah, I was happy with the way he flew well. It's good to get the guys that are working hard on the ramps and, you know, a little bit of stick time. That's what they come up here for, is to get into the seat and be a pilot.
I'm happy that I was able to perform well enough that people thought said it was a good landing and whatnot.
After a success like this, there's no doubt in Jeremy's mind that he's made the right move.
It was the right decision to make, getting up to Yellowknife, and immediately I saw the benefits and the rewards of doing so, and that was starting to fly.
Coming up, a training flight skids to a calamitous end.
Load yourself down.
Maybe put landing gear down.
In Yellowknife, things are looking up for Buffalo Rampy's Jeremy Dow and Andrew Vike.
Up and over? I would say watch your step, but I know you can't see anything. Andrew and I were able to find an apartment, but it was pretty darn expensive, and it pretty much drained me financially.
This will be interesting.
Yeah, this will be interesting.
We're going to put it this way and right in that room.
While unloading the few pieces of furniture they have, they're greeted by the neighbors.
How you guys doing?
We're moving in.
You guys suck.
Not for free.
Scott Blue and Janelle Glenn share a place upstairs with Janelle's boyfriend, Buffalo Captain Devin Brooks.
See you in a bit.
Moving up to Yellowknife was a good thing for Jeremy.
Oops.
It's going to cost him more money, but at the end of the day, it's a necessary expense in his life to progress as a pilot.
Nice.
The next day at the Buffalo Cargo Terminal, Kelly and Janelle are on a mercy mission.
Okay, we're off to the dump to shop for Jeremy. Kitchen chairs, presents, pots and pans, porn. Everything's at the dump.
Kelly and Janelle took a drive over to, you know, the Yellowknife shop for people starting up here, you know, which is the dump.
We're just like to go shopping.
Shopping?
Yeah.
We have a sale on today. T-shirts.
Awesome, thanks. They just want chairs for poker, so.
When I came up here, I was pretty lonely for my family, and Buffalo became my family. And these kids are the same way. Their families aren't here. Sometimes I think of the mother for them all.
There's one kitchen chair.
Yeah.
Shit, they don't have to match, do they? You sit on it, see if it works. Sit. We just thought we'd surprise him with great shit from the dump. Whatever. Load up his truck. What the f***? Where'd this shit come from? No names, no nothing. Surprise. I love it. Quickly get this shit in there before he sees us.
Back at the Buffalo hangar, Kelly, Janelle, and Al load their found treasure into Jeremy's truck.
Beer cooler.
he gets a star today.
They clear out just as Jeremy returns from a courier run.
Why is there stuff in the back of my van? Hey. Neat.
Andrew also notices Jeremy's packed truck.
Where the hell did you find this stuff?
I didn't. You're seeing where I just found it.
Huh.
I have cool friends somewhere. I need to go talk to them. Hey, Jack, did you have anything to do with that?
No.
I was part of it.
I figured it was something to do with my great buddy Kelly there. Yeah. Kelly's like our mom.
Okay. Thank you.
It's awesome. It's like family here. Yeah, you guys rock. I got friends in high places.
In Izmir, Turkey, there may be one water bomber down for repair, but that still leaves one ready to fly.
What's up?
Arnie, how you doing?
So Buffalo's chief pilot Arnie Schrader can do what he does best.
Here comes the fun. We're going to the water.
Put his trainees and the water bomber through their paces. The Turkish trainees are all experienced pilots, but skimming the 215 along a lake will be a new experience.
Kind of go like this. Bring your boat down, cut the lights, yeah. Arm the doors, and you're ready. You're doing that thing, so you never end it.
Okay.
Hey, give me 15 money for it.
Okay.
When they hit the lake, the water will enter through a pair of shoebox-sized openings on the underside of the aircraft. It then passes into two 2,700-liter tanks located on either side of the fuselage. Any overflow drains via the outlets at the top. Once the plane lifts off, the intake closes and the belly doors are ready to open to release the water.
I don't want to get your speed too high, but... your ball got extended, everybody. Yeah. No good first word, dude. Good. I want you to get the attitude, eh?
Oh, tell
the attitude is about like that, eh? Speed's good, you got 110 on there. You gotta get down to about 80. Solid back.
There's the right.
There's the attitude.
Oh, yeah.
No power. All right. That's good. Pull back the light. Right there. Just hold it down.
The unique hull design allows the CL-215 to skim from water as shallow as 6 feet. When skimming, the aircraft maintains a speed of about 80 knots or 150 kilometers an hour, scooping an incredible 5,400 liters of surface water.
Here comes the probe. Probe's going to go up. Check it slightly. All right, set. Probe's up.
Probe's up.
Okay, there's your 80. You're faster. You can tug it out of the water.
After a bumpy ride, they lift off the lake with an additional 10,000 pounds of water in the tanks.
These arms?
Yep.
Now that they've had their first taste of what the CL-215 can do, Cenk and the other trainees are eager to master this new aircraft. But not every training flight is going to go this well. Water bomber flight training has finally started in Turkey. But the steady stream of problems combined with extended delays have pushed engineer Corey Daw to the end of his rope.
I'll be happy when we arrive back on Canadian soil. Hopefully next week. Should be there. Drink Canadian beer.
Corey managed to repair an engine oil leak under difficult conditions.
They didn't have a forklift or anything, and we had a major oil leak in this engine, which we fixed. We would use the fuel truck as a work stand, which is kind of a pain in the ass, but, well.
With the leak fixed, the water bomber is ready to fly.
All the way up for it, yep.
Arnie and Corey look on as the Turkish trainee pilots practice runway touch and goes before heading to the water. The first Turkish trainee touches down perfectly. Another trainee takes the stick. He executes an excellent touch and go and raises the landing gear. As the 215 comes around, a third Turkish pilot takes over. From the tarmac, everything seems to be going fine. Arnie and Cenk warm up the other 215 for more training runs. But then, as the other plane descends towards the runway for one more touch and go, something is wrong. The landing gear is not down. The plane careens toward the end of the runway. At the last second, our cameraman scrambles for cover. As a last resort, the water bomber pilots throttle up to get back into the air. Everyone is stunned.
What's happened there, Corey?
Like, they put landing gear down.
Landing gear down.
Fire, man.
What happened?
They didn't have a landing gear down. They touched the pavement. I saw sparks and everything. That's why I got off the runway.
Hey. Unbelievable.
No one knows how badly damaged the plane is, or if it can make a safe landing when it comes back around. Crew lowers the wheels, but the hydraulics may have been damaged when the plane scraped along the runway. They do a flyby to get a visual confirmation from the ground.
Give the thumbs up, gear's down.
It's gonna be a great training for them.
Oh, we didn't want that type of training.
Cenk is in radio contact with the Turkish pilots in the water bomber.
They say it shows all down and luck right now.
Okay, yeah, look.
But I'll confirm that.
They had no hydraulics?
That's what they say.
If the hydraulic lines are damaged, the gear could collapse under the weight of the plane when it touches down again. A crowd has gathered on the tarmac, waiting for the plane to land.
We'll have to see what damage has been done to the hull.
The damaged water bomber makes its final approach. Everyone holds their breath. The landing gear holds, but now there's a problem simply steering and stopping the plane. It's so bad that the nose of the plane rolls off the runway before coming to a halt.
Can't steer it. No hydraulics, he said. Oh, yeah.
There's a 10-foot gash in the bottom of the airplane.
Yeah, good.
And hydraulic lines have been damaged as well.
Yeah, we got to tow it backwards.
Oh, no, just keep everyone out of there.
Yeah.
Away from the door. The doors open up. Kill you.
It's a crushing blow for the Buffalo crew. The Turkish trainee pilots are dumbfounded.
Get out of there. He's open up.
as Corey and Norm assess the damage.
Okay.
See the daylight.
Yeah, that's a bad sign.
That's not normal.
Picture this. Corey jumps into the cockpit to try and figure out what happened.
If you get in the airplane right afterwards, you can usually tell what wasn't done properly.
Since the gear worked, this could be a clear case of pilot error. Someone will have to report the whole incident to Buffalo Joe.
Oh, my God. You don't even want to know what Joe's
going to
do.
Coming up, Corey calls Joe.
How you doing?
Not very good.
Yeah, it's Corey Dodd down in Turkey.
We had a bit of an incident this morning. It's a pretty bad one.
It was the most shocking landing in Buffalo Airways history. A few hours later, engineers Corey Dodd and Norm Byrne wait until it's morning back in Yellowknife to give Joe the bad news.
What time is it there?
8:30.
Corey makes the call.
It's a call you never really want to make.
How you doing?
Yeah, it's Corey Dodd down in Turkey.
We had a bit of an incident this morning.
It's a pretty bad one. They took out THB. They did a couple circuits. On their third circuit, they came around.
And they landed gear up.
That's a sick feeling in the old gut.
When you see the gear up, you can't do anything. You can't do anything about it.
There's a long ways between a hydraulic leak and the gear handle not being put down.
Despite his fiery temper, when Joe faces a crisis, he's cool as a cucumber.
See, Joe under pressure is really good. He's really a smooth thinker. He's really, that's when he's at his best.
All right.
Still, Joe's disappointment is obvious.
That is the kindergarten of flying. If you're going to launch your boat, be sure it's in the water. You know, or if you're going to ride a train, make sure there's a railroad track going that way. But if you're going to land an airplane, make sure your goddamn wheels are down. Jesus Christ.
He's pissed. I mean, I'd be too, but, you know, he wasn't freaking out or anything, so, I mean, nothing he can do there, nothing we can do here, just, you know, move forward.
Back in the Buffalo hangar, the brothers McBrien crawl under a 215 to get an idea of the damage.
This part is wore down, just basically because, I mean, the runway is a huge piece of sandpaper, and their plane's at 30, whatever, plus 1,000 pounds. You have to drag it 2,000 feet down this piece of sandpaper.
In the aviation world, maintenance guys tend to bond with their planes. For Rod, seeing the actual pictures of the ripped-up water bomber hull really hurts.
Why does it hurt the most? Because the time investment and the stupidity of the incident.
Well, Rod's pretty upset. He feels the pain for everybody.
Why is it all open like that?
Because that's where the skin was.
Did they take the skin off? Or that's
no, it ground off.
Oh.
Nothing got ripped off.
Or ground down to nothing.
The CL-215s are equipped with a fail-safe system to prevent this kind of mistake.
I'll tell you what you should have heard.
Yeah.
Long before you got to the f***ing runway.
Joe's take is simple. The pilots should have known something was wrong.
Well, this airplane doesn't feel right. I gotta be missing something. This before the bells and the whistles and the horns and all the audio displays and all that bullshit. It's in your feet and in your ass and in your arms.
She's down for a while.
The deal was to deliver two water bombers to Turkey and train pilots for the start of their fire season. Now, with the fire season just weeks away, there's only one working plane. So Joe gets on the phone.
Yeah, I just want to talk to you before I talk to the turkeys to see which airplane it is. Which one's ready to go first?
He brokers a deal to get another water bomber to Turkey right away.
We've got another airplane ready to meet their deadline time.
a stopgap measure to keep the program moving forward. But it'll be a few months before this plane flies again. On the next episode of Ice Pilots NWT,
Terrain.
The Electra gets caught in a whiteout.
Flying blind.
Joe's on the rampage.
I want that chief out of my office right now.
I'm not f***ing anybody around, joking.
And someone's going to walk.
I do not give a shit.